Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oasis of Hope podcast. Wow, this is amazing. This is actually episode 57. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing very well. And by the way, I'm Feyi Obamenti.
And I am Johnson Obamenti.
And so this is episode 57.
Yes. In fact, this is a special episode, because you know we had all these questions that has to deal with a lot of clinical issues.
Yes.
And we have decided that to do justice to these issues, we have to seek out specialists. We have to seek out special experts in this area.
Yeah.
And God has really blessed us.
He has. And our listening audience will know our special guest today.
Yes.
That will be leading this discussion, you know, for us and
yes.
providing godly insight. They are spirit-filled women of God, and we'll just take it on. So do you want us to just go ahead, introduce them, the topic?
Yes,
and
please.
So they can take it away.
Yes, please. So today we are talking about gaslighting.
Yes.
Okay. So Dr. Ruth Goodwin and Mrs.
Erin
Wyden. So both of them will be leading this discussion today, helping us to understand what gaslighting is all about. And then also they'll be talking about how to handle gaslighting. However, let's just go ahead briefly, because we know that they have lengthy achievement and bio. So Dr. Ruth Goodwin is the CEO and the clinical director of Safe Harbor Counseling Center, located in Weatherford and Azuk in Texas.
Yes.
And they have well over 30 counselors
in her practice.
In her practice.
God has really blessed her. So, Dr. Ruth, welcome to Oasis of Hope podcast again. And Ms. Whiting, welcome on board to the podcast today. So, my husband said, gaslighting is what we're looking at. We've grouped the two questions. The two questions are how to handle gaslighters in family situations, especially during the holidays, and what are some of the signs of gaslighting? So just educate our listening audience, because this is really a clinical psychological thing.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Ruth, and I will start first, and then Erin, you just hop in and add to or correct me if I say something that might be off target. But gaslighting is not technically a psychological term. It is a term that is running through the psychological realms right now, but it's technically not a psychological term. It does have its roots in a need to control the other person, and you'll find it emerges more when a person feels out of control. Often they might have a true psychological background, a disorder like narcissism or something else, psychopath or whatever might be in there, but it really is has its root in the need to control. And you always know that that people don't need to control unless they feel out of control. So yeah.
Wow, I love what you just said. People don't need to control unless they feel out of control.
Yes. And so during the holiday seasons, you're going to have some of these situations come up. And just because they might be have some of the symptoms or some of the traits or some of the examples we're going to give you about gaslighting does not mean that they are a true gaslighter. It may be a one-time situation, but because where we look for a gas at someone that is truly gaslighting and has that underlying psychological problem, we look for a pattern, a lasting, for example, with narcissism, it's a lasting and enduring pattern of behavior that affects their social realm.
Wow.
Gaslighting can happen in your employment, in your family, with your friends. There's numerous ways that gaslighting can manifest itself. It's usually manifested in several ways, like trivializing. One that would be they minimize your feelings and they suggest that your emotions don't matter. Or they say, "Oh, you're just overreacting."
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And we've all had situations like that.
We have all have. And I love that you said that looking at the pattern, if you see a pattern, so maybe in any specific situation, and I love that you mentioned not just, you know, the question about the family,
exactly,
but you mentioned workplace,
school, church,
community. I mean, it's any relationship.
Yeah,
any...
we might even have cyber type as well.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes. It's more of a behavior than a mental health pattern. Than a diagnosis. It's more of a behavior, and sometimes it's learned. Sometimes it's learned in childhood. It can manifest really negatively in a marriage relationship, where if, let's say, a woman is married to a male who happens to have narcissistic tendencies. He may make constant remarks such as, "Well, you don't do that as well as my mother used to."
Wow.
That comparison, bringing it in, and wow.
Well, I think, what we're getting from both of you now is that, you know, the narcissistic people have a tendency of being gaslighted. So, but I guess my question is that, you know, I guess when Dr. Ruth was talking earlier, is that is it possible for somebody to be a gaslighter and don't know that?
That they're gaslighters. Is it possible?
Yes. In fact, it is a slow, progressive, everything I've read about it, everything I've observed, it's a slow, progressive pattern of behavior that gets worse. The way we recognize it, I mentioned trivializing, but there's countering where they question your memory, or withholding, they brush off any attempts that you have to make a discussion, or diversion, that when you try to bring up a concern about their behavior or something, they change the subject, or they'll accuse you, "Well, you're just forgetting. I never said that at all." Or denying or discrediting, suggesting that you get confused or make things up, and they might even go to the point of threatening. It's all intended to make a person doubt and question themselves.
I love that.
Used negatively spiritually.
Hmm.
A very strong form of spiritual abuse. Such as, I remember a funeral I went to where the clergy, and this was a non-Christian faith, mind you, but the clergy got up and addressed the family of the person who had just died and said, "It was your grandmother's wish that you all return to the fold immediately." So everyone in there is having grief over this lost family member. Now there's guilt thrown in.
Gaslighting them.
Yes.
Big time.
And you know what I teach my clients at where I see that things like this is happening to them? And it's real important during the Christmas season when everyone's tensions are running high anyway, is what God says to guard our hearts. And so I tell them, put an invisible shield up, and you don't take those negative statements from other people about who you are, that you stand firm on the fact of who you know, that you know who you are, you know, and that you don't argue with them because you've got that shield up. You know that you're a child of God. You know that that God has gave you wisdom. He's gave you strength, and you don't, and if he's gave you direction in your life, you don't have to doubt who you are.
I love that you said that, because before we came on, we were actually looking at 1 Peter 2:9, you know, where the scripture talks about you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that's exactly what you're saying, Dr. Ruth, because believers need to know who they are. If they know who they are, gaslighters will be out of work quick, because yes, their intent, and it doesn't matter whether it's in family, you know, whether it's church, whether it's workplace, school, community, when believers know who they are, gaslighters will be out of a job quick, because their intent to control, or their intent, you know, for whatever reason, it will not be long lived at all.
And the fun part would be that you can really drive them to distraction, because you don't buy into what they're saying.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
I mean, it's so good that both of you are helping us to better understand this this situation and how to deal with it, and especially those people that would be susceptible to gaslighters. You know, especially if you don't know who you are, or if you have low self-esteem.
That's what I was gonna say.
You know,
yeah.
So. And then now, can you both help us then? I mean, our listeners, we already know how to identify and some of the scenarios that or examples that you gave. Then how then should one deal with gaslighters? You know, in any situation, in the family, school, workplace, or, you know, whenever we have that situation that comes up.
Because remember, Dr. Ruth, one of those questions is from a domestic situation, you know, that the listener had said. So if they have to be in constant contact with that gaslighter, it looks like it's a pattern from what they've shared. What will you guide or suggest that they do?
Well, one thing that you need to know, or that the audience needs to know, that God never intended anyone to stay in a physically abusive situation.
Yes.
He, in fact, he tells us in 1 Peter 3 to deal with each other with understanding, to that we're called to bless each other. And so he never intends someone to stay in an abusive situation. But if it is, first of all, is to just recognize guests, if it's not a physically abusive, just to, first of all, to recognize what gaslighting is, and if it really is gaslighting and belittling of your emotions, refuse to doubt your own feelings and beliefs and thoughts, because they get you to question reality.
As you're talking now, Dr. Ruth, I'm like, wow, almost seems, you know, like the work of the enemy, what the enemy does, and now uses, you know, things like this. You know, especially, you know, if the people are believers and they can't recognize or understand what you're talking about right now. They won't even know that it's happening.
The tricky part is when you're in a marriage relationship, very often, let's say the woman will not recognize she's with a gaslighter because they can behave very well for as long as it suits them.
Wow.
But once they start revealing who they are, then there's a consistent pattern of wearing down with the gaslighting to the point to where the other person begins to feel, question their own thinking, think they're going crazy, not know what to believe anymore. They actually get broken down over a period of time. And the best way to probably see the narcissist or the gaslighter in that relationship is look at the spouse. How are they viewing themselves? Is their self-esteem so low that they can't even function? Because you might be dealing with a gaslighter then.
Wow, wow. So I hope people are taking notes and they're taking careful attention to all what you're saying. You said something about control, the intent to control, pattern. You've talked about self-esteem. You've talked here about knowing who they are. You've talked about non-responsive approach, especially if they have to deal with them on a constant basis.
Well, I think one thing that really catch my attention is that a gaslighter will use any situation to drive in the agenda that he or she has. So, and the gaslighter can either be a woman or can be a man. So I guess—
That's right.
That's true. Like what Miss Erin was saying about that funeral, that clergy, took advantage of that situation, the vulnerability of the family at that point in time, instead of ministering the comfort or the hope and slitting that agenda just at that point.
Yeah. And I think we're really blessed to have both of you. And actually, before we... we end today, we would like for you to at least tell our listening audience about Safe Harbor.
Yes.
Because this is a place that is so dear and special to us because, I mean, not only the fact that it's a Christian, spirit-filled counseling center, and also that money is not an issue. So because a lot of people, because of money and stuff, so that seems to be an issue, and also some people just people that could not identify to what they're dealing with. So for our listening audience, just wait to the end of the show, and then you'll be able to get the ideas on how you can connect and how you can connect with Safe Harbor Counseling Center.
And Dr. Ruth and her team also do virtual counseling, so which is a great thing.
So that distance is not an
distance
issue.
Distance is not an issue. Oh, Dr. Ruth, Miss Whiting, I have something here that we saw. It says Merriam-Webster Dictionary noted that gaslighting was the 2022 word of the year.
the word of the year. That's why I said it's just making its way through the psychological realms.
Really?
When we go back and there for a while, it was codependency and it was a dissociative disorder, multiple personality disorder, and then this year it's gaslighting. So one of the things that you have to make sure of when you're dealing with a situation, is this true gaslighting? For example, you couldn't say that pastor that Aaron told you about, he had a gaslighting behavior at that funeral, but is he a gaslighter? We don't know.
We don't know, unless he's exhibited the pattern several times.
Right. And then the main things, is if in dealing with it, once you make sure it's gaslighting, is you take some space from the situation. And sometimes you cannot literally leave the situation, but you need to, at least in your mind, go to where you're not worrying about it 24/7, that you're taking that space to pray and to read and spend time alone with God in order to build up your self-confidence. And then you don't argue with them, but you can speak up about the behavior, as all the while remaining confident in your version of the events. Often a true gaslighter, they'll just come in and tell you how it was and that it was not your way. And then you end up agreeing with them when you know it was different. And so you get to doubt your memory. But just to focus on self-care, on taking good care of yourself. And often that comes by reaching out and helping others. When you, that is what I found is the best way of my self-care, is when I am actively engaging in helping others, and to involve others in your life. A gaslighter will want to isolate you, keep you away from family, keep you away from situations where others might praise you. So just keep others involved in your life. And then, of course, seek professional support too, you know, like the counseling at Safe Harbor.
Wow.
I'm gonna give you a definition, a better definition of gaslighting. It's by Dr. David Hawkins, who is the director of the Marriage Recovery Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His definition is excuses, deflections, justifications used to take the focus off the harmful behavior, such as, I don't remember it that way. I think you've got things all mixed up, which is what you always do.
Wow.
Remember that gaslighting is an emotional, it's a form of emotional abuse. If it continues.
That's so true. That is so true. So emotional abuse, our listeners, you're hearing this two women of God counselors, because there's nothing, and I love that Dr. Reed said that, God did not create anyone to be dominated or controlled in any way. And if you're finding yourself in any situation whatsoever, know the signs and know how to either take care of yourself or to seek help, even in those situations.
Wow. So I would just want both of you to just take turns to give us your closing thoughts. And then after that, I would just give the information about your two locations and the information how people can contact you.
I did not understand what you asked me first. Oh, just
okay. Okay, so I would just say, give your closing thoughts on all that.
Okay.
I know, because it's like, okay, we're looking at the time, it's already rounding, we've got to do this again. Maybe episode 58 will be gaslighting number two.
Okay. First you will, when faced with a situation, take a moment to calm yourself down before you speak to it. You explain your version of the events in a calm voice, if they're lying about you. You then ask them to explain a comment, and then respond to criticisms by pointing out something you do well. So they're not beating you down. Tell the gaslighter that you expect to be treated with respect. Refuse to argue about what happened or what was said. Don't let them pull you in. So that's a way of taking back control. Keep a journal so that you have a reminder of what actually happened, because they'll try to get you to doubt your memory. I identify and avoid the gaslighter's triggers if you can, because sometimes they'll have a trigger that will make them feel that out of control. So try to avoid those triggers, and accept that they will have different perceptions of what happened than what you do. And then, if all, at all possible, limit your contact with the gaslighter.
Or
ask your partner to go to couples counseling with you if they're gaslighting you.
Yes.
Remember to not buy, to stand on the truth. God's word is truth, and he says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says that he dances over you with joy. He says he gave his very life for you. So don't buy into anybody's criticism or putting you down that you're not worth anything, because you're worth everything to the Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Closing thought, Ms. Wyden, any closing thoughts?
One of my first things that I like to go over with someone who's suffering gaslighting is to go over Psalm 139 to help them remember who they are in God's eyes, who he created them to be, what he says about them.
Yes.
Well, if they can remember that truth.
This is why they got to know the word of God.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Wow. Hasn't it been so amazing?
I know. That is amazing. This is very, very helpful. And I know that a lot of people have been blessed.
Quickly, Dr. Ruth, can you tell us information about Safe Harbor Counseling, how people can reach you, how they can contact you, how they can get further help, and they want to work with you?
You can look at our webpage of www.safeharborcounseling.org, and that will have our phone numbers, our addresses on it, or you can call 817-441-9345. Some of the needs of Safe Harbor, and there may be someone out there right now that can meet the needs. God tells us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the field. And we currently have a waiting list. We try to get people in just as quick as we can, but the need is so great. And we're needing workers into the field. We also have several little volunteer, if you don't need counseling and you want little volunteer projects, even for men, that we're needing a retaining wall rebuilt or a sidewalk poured, those type of things that we're needing help with, so that we can keep our fees for the ones of you who do need counseling. If you make $20,000 and less, you can come to Safe Harbor for $25. That's professional counseling for $25. And then we go up in increments of $10 based on your income. If someone cannot pay anything at all, we send them out to do 2 hours of community service for every hour they spend with us. We're truly a nonprofit. We're truly a ministry based on God's calling on our life to meet the needs of hurting people.
Amen. And you made the needs so well. And we are witnesses of the ministry that God has blessed you with. And we are just so thankful for you and your entire team, Dr. Ruth Goodwin and Ms. Wyden, that is here with us today.
Yes, thank you so much. As we wrap up tonight, we just wanted to read this scripture. So say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
So
amen.
That is.
Amen. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
It's always a joy. Definitely, it looks like I know that we will receive lots of feedback on this. It looks like episode maybe 58, 59 might be continuation. We'll be coming to you again on this.
Okay.
you know, so thank God for you and thank you so much. So that's about it for now, Oasis of Hope community. So until next time,
we love you
and stay connected. Bye-bye.